Welcome to Network, a production of Evangelism Ministries of the Georgia Baptist Convention. And now your host, Joel Sutherland.
Welcome to Network, the program dedicated to helping pastors and churches cast the net of the gospel. I'm your host, Joel Sutherland. Recently, my colleague, Mark Merritt, interviewed Thomas Hammond, who works for the Executive Committee of the Southern Baptist Convention, and they spoke about event follow-up. Listen in as Thomas and Mark give you some great advice on how to follow up after an event.
Well, Thomas, that brings up just a whole nother important area. We're inviting people to come into our church. We're doing events. We're following up with people. And let's say some of them come back to our church. We want them to be assimilated into the body. You've just said building relationships is a big part of assimilating people into our church. I know you've done a lot of work in the area of becoming a visitor-friendly church. Can you just briefly talk about maybe some of the most important things we can do as a church and as a Sunday school class to help new people become assimilated into our church and feel like they're really a part of our body?
I'd love to, Marcus. Let's start with the church, first of all, and then we'll go to the Sunday school class in just a moment. Churches, as I said, have their own system, their own processes, their own way of doing everything. And folks who have been in that church a long time have grown accustomed to the schedule, where to park, and what doors to go through, and so on and so forth. But for a first-time guest, they have no idea what they're doing, where they're going, who they're going to meet, what the experience is going to be like. So they're overriding, their overarching emotion is going to be anxiety. Mm-hmm. So if it's a person who's never been to church before or never been to your church before, there's still going to be an element of anxiety because of the unknown. And so what we encourage churches to do is to create a ministry, is to set aside some assets, people and some parts of your facility to care for your guest, whether it's a guest parking area there in the front part or the best parking places of your church parking lot, is to create an area maybe right there in the lobby, which would be like a welcome center to tell your guests a little bit about the church's ministries and the amenities of your church that you provide for them and every member of their family. And have people set aside that are responsible for escorting them to their places. If it's a mom and dad and three kids, they're not going to know where the nursery is. They're not going to know where the extended care is, or the extended hour, or the children's church, and so on and so forth. So, I've been to Lowe's before trying to find one particular screw and or whatever, a bolt, and if I can get somebody to help me at Lowe's, it takes me 2 minutes. If I don't, I'm there for 3 hours. Mm-hmm. And there's just something really, very very encouraging and very helpful to have somebody to say, hey, I'll take you right there. It's the same thing our churches. We just tell our guests, sadly, to fend for yourself and hope you can find your way. So I encourage churches to set aside people, just like in the assimilation process of those who are wanting to join your church or become members of your church. We need to have processes of how do we assimilate them. We need to have a plan for our guest. And I always call it getting ready for company. And when you have people come over to your house, there are some things you do to get ready for company, and that's what we need to be doing every Sunday.
Do you think some churches don't do that because they're not expecting company?
Yeah, I think it could be that they're in some type of a rut, and they have a family or two, and they just hope by going and shaking their hand that will be enough. The reality is, Marcus, most churches are prepared for Bobby Baptist. Mm-hmm. They're not prepared for Lost Larry.
Right.
They're prepared for somebody who wants to come to something like what they do, or people who are like them. They're not ready. Most churches, sadly, are not ready for a family who has never been to church and has no idea what to expect, how to treat that family with love and respect, and create in them a desire to come back.
So if the church can have people, greeters out front, ready to receive, ready to give them information about the church, ready to escort them to their class or the nursery or the sanctuary or wherever they need to go, those are some good practical things that we can do. What about the Sunday school class? We're talking about follow-up. We're doing events. We're inviting people to come to our church. We've gone to their home. We've invited them to come, and they show up. And here they are in Sunday school. How do we receive the Lost Larry in Sunday school?
Well, there's two things. First of all, the person who visited that family, whether in their home or contact them by phone or email. They need to be telling that family, hey, when you come, I'll be there ready to meet you, whether it's out in the guest parking area or in the foyer or somewhere. The second thing is I encourage every Sunday school class to have a couple in that class who are extremely friendly that are your greeters for that class. The most intimidating place in the world is a Sunday school class, mm-hmm. because everybody in that class probably has known each other for the last 30 years. Everybody has inside jokes. Everybody has, you know, something that we did last night.
Everybody has a chair they sit in.
Everybody's got their little blanket that they put down on their cushion. So you don't know where to sit and what to do. So if each class has a greeter or a couple that greets folks, then they can introduce people, your guests, to people in the classroom and help them to feel a lot more comfortable. The other thing that's very important is in the Sunday school class, what do we do with our visitors, our guests, and helping them to find their way to worship?
Mm-hmm.
The truth is, we just assume they're going to follow the flow and that they may be leaving, or the other people may be going to the choir, or they might be going to the restroom or whatever. But the truth is, we need to have that greeter in that class saying, hey, I want you to sit with Bob and Sue during worship. You'll have a great time there. They'll be going to the second service if you have multiple services, and so on and so forth. So a plan. This is what has to happen. We have to set aside time and put together a plan, a strategy of how we're going to treat people. If we really value them, we're going to have a plan on how we're going to treat them when they come to our church.
Well, that was a great interview about event follow-up and registration. Be sure and join us after the break as we come back and continue this theme with the guys in Evangelism Ministries on how we can follow up after events here on Network.
You never know when your life will be shaken. Last year, I lost
my job. Everything fell apart. All my life,
I depended on my money and success. I had it all, but I felt
so alone when my husband died.
I've always relied on myself. Then somebody showed me
hope that could transform my life.
I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about a
personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
And I was able to find it here.
Findithere.com.
Welcome back to Network. I'm your host, Joel Sutherland, and I'm joined by Steve Parr and Mark Merritt in Evangelism Ministries. Guys, we just heard, Mark, your interview with Thomas Hammond again, where he's talking about, this time, guest friendliness and follow-up with those guests at church. But now, before we dive into that, let's talk about, for a moment, this subject, Mark. Is guest friendliness important at the event? Do you need greeters at the event? And when I say event, we could be talking about revival, block party, motorcycle rally, you know, fall festival. How important is guest friendliness at the event?
Well, I think it's crucial, Joel, and that's an excellent question. First of all, we should have official greeters at every event. If we're going to invite Lost Larry and his family, to use Thomas Hammond's phrase there, they don't know where our restrooms are. They don't know where the facilities or the child care area is. So we need to have someone that's easily identifiable. Maybe they have on a vest or just a simple name tag, but some way that they're identifiable as a greeter. Now, they're not only there to just show people where the facilities are, but they're also there to extend a welcome, to shake hand, to introduce themselves to the guests and the visitors that come on the property. But also, over and above the official greeters, every person in that church should consider themselves an unofficial greeter. Mm. Every person in the church, whether it's a revival or whether it's an on-campus event or even an off-campus event, make a point to go to the people that you don't know, the people that are lost or unchurched or guests. Introduce yourself to them by name. I always say, no, they won't remember every person's name, but they will remember the experience they had at your church.
That's right. That's right. And so one of the things I think a pastor or a church has to realize is when you're putting together teams for an event, you need a greeter team for the event as well. And you spoke well to that. Steve, I was recently in a Sunday school class at a church I'd been to for the first time. And my wife and I left the class. And our comment was, it was the absolute friendliest class I had ever been to in my 44 years of living. I'd never been in a class that was that friendly. The impact that made on us was incredible. However, that's not the normal experience of a lot of times in Sunday school, is it?
Unfortunately, it's not. And I realize that your Sunday morning Bible study is not an event, but there are some similarities in terms of what we need to be doing in terms of receiving guests. Let me ask you guys a question. Have you ever been to a university football game? Of course, you're in Georgia, be the Bulldogs, mm-hmm. but wherever. You've been to a university football game? Have you done
yes,
that?
Yes, rough.
And what time did you get there? Kickoff's at 1, you get there what, about 1:05, 1:10? What time do you get there?
You get there early.
Get there
early.
Oh,
sure.
Yeah. You know, 2, 3, or 4 hours early,
yes.
And you walk a mile. Well, think about this. At church, when a guest drives by and it says 9:45, they think, when you get there about 9:40 and see where the kids go and,
right,
and
right.
where the room is. So they'll get there at 9:40, but we're infamous in our churches for at 9:40 people start showing up. Mm-hmm. I cannot talk about how important it is to arrive early, because imagine you went to a football game and it's 5 minutes before kickoff and nobody showed up.
Mm-hmm.
You think, I'm either in the wrong place or this game is going to stink. I mean, it's not going to be any good at all. Well, what does a person think when they go to an event that you plan on a Saturday evening, or they go to your Sunday school or your Bible study and it's 5 till and nobody's there?
Wow.
We've got to have people there early, and there's got to be a spirit of celebration. So being early is important. And Mark alluded to engaging people is important. Not just how you doing, but hey, you know, do you guys live in this area?
Right.
How many times have you been here? Now, the reason I say that, if you say, are you new here? It's embarrassing if they've already been to your church 2 or 3 times. Say, how many times have you been here? What's our first time? Well, I thought you were new.
Mm-hmm.
Or they may say, well, this is our 4th time. Well, yeah, I thought I'd seen you here. So you kind of gives you a way to get around that, not getting embarrassed by, you know, introducing yourself to somebody that's really not brand new. So, but you've got to engage them and ask about family and ask about interest. And that way, when you tap into something that you have in common, talk about that. That helps connect people. So you've got to engage people. Again, you're trying to make a friend.
Right.
And then the third thing is the ease of the experience. Make it as easy for them as possible. Now, for example, name tags at an event.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You ever notice somebody, you introduce yourself, somebody told you the name, and 3 minutes later you can't remember because you've maybe met 2 or 3 others.
Yeah.
But if they got a name tag on, you just, and Steve, you just are, hey, Mark, hey, Joel, and you can call them by their name. It's not a guarantee you'll remember it, but there's something about calling a person by their name. So name tags, refreshments. Now, I want to say one more thing, and Mark, I want you to comment on it. You know, this issue of being early, a lot of people think, well, what's the point of getting there early? We never have any guests.
Right.
Could it be we never have any guests is because we're not prepared for them?
Right.
Why would God send them if we're not prepared to receive them?
Right.
That's right. And Steve, you mentioned a great thing there about name tags. Perhaps the name tag could even be part of our registration process, where you fill your card out. Everyone fills a card out, and they fill their little name tag out. They stick it on their shirt. And everyone would instantly be identifiable.
Mark, you can go to like an Office Depot type place and buy these little plastic sleeves, and you write the name in, slide it in there. It's got this little, you know, rubber band type thing. You put it around your neck. Very, very inexpensive. And that way people can interact. And you may think, but we all know each other. But the name tags aren't for the members. The name tags are for the guests. Even if there's 2 guests, you think, I can remember 2 names. But what if there's 22 of you?
Right.
Right.
They can't remember your 22 names.
That's right. And just kind of in closing, guys, one of the things he said, and I think we've all experienced this even in the jobs we do, was the level of anxiety of going to a new place. There is a tremendous amount of anxiety for a guest that comes on our church property. And our job is just to alleviate that as much as we possibly can.
Well, I'll tell you this, Joel, quickly. I have had the experience of going into a classroom, sitting down, only to be told that I'm sitting in someone's seat.
Oh, my.
I can't begin to tell you how awkward that was. And I was just a guest speaker that day. Imagine if I would have been Lost Larry.
Let's just remember, not everybody is extroverted.
Right.
They're introverts, and they need the Lord like everybody else. They need relationships. And so we need to play to the introvert, so to speak. The extrovert's going to make themselves right at home.
Yes.
Right. You don't have to do anything for them.
Right.
But there's people all across the scale there in terms of their ease when they go into a new environment like that.
So, Pastor and church, when you have an event, make sure that after the event, your church is prepared to receive those guests and to make them feel welcome. Well, thank you for listening into Network today. I'm your host, Joel Sutherland. To find out more about registration, events, and evangelism, be sure and visit our 24/7 equipping site, evangelismga.com. And be sure to listen in every day at 10 a.m. to GBC Internet Radio. Until next time, join us again on Network.
You've been listening to Network, a program dedicated to challenging believers to cast the net of the gospel. Network is a production of the Evangelism Ministries of the Georgia Baptist Convention.